Top Shelf Fantasy.
All right, everybody. Week two in the books, week three right around the corner. We're watching the Thursday night football game now, Patriots and Jets. Just started, so 0-0. We're going to go over some week two recap thoughts, looking forward, and of course, the injuries that I feel like get worse and worse every year this early on, mainly with, you know, top tier players. But podcast 303, September 18th, 2024. TopShelfFantasy.com, TopShelfFNTSY on X, Instagram, and Facebook. Dows, I'd ask you how it's going, but I don't know what else that. How are you feeling? That's probably a worse question.
Yeah. Than how are you doing? Yeah, you know, you're in enough leagues with me to know how I'm feeling. It's like the injuries are tough, and we actually kind of like joked about it, not even joked about it, but just kind of mentioned. I think Jeff actually brought it up in one of our group chats, and he was like, we dodged a lot of big injuries in the preseason this year. Like, we didn't have really anybody that went down, and then week one and week two were just completely the opposite of that story. And you can't really complain about it, because yeah, like, sometimes you get beat up and you're the guy that has a couple guys that are down, but it's across the league right now. Like, I think it might have been you that sent me the Instagram post that it was like the top or consensus ADP top 12 guys, and like 10 out of 12 of them are either on IR, missing time, or projected to miss time, or have already missed games, which is like,
or
kind
it's
of bananas.
Jamar Chase, who's not doing anything yet.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's like really like CeeDee Lamb in the top picks. That's really lived up to it. And even him, like, hasn't been huge.
Jefferson probably too. After last week, with a big,
yeah, I think when this game one came out, he had just been marked questionable. And
oh, right. Yeah.
It's not, you know, we'll get to that, but that looks like it's going to be, you know, much ado about nothing. But yeah, it's a lot of big names. Christian McCaffrey obviously tops the list, and then it just goes on from there. But you know, we checked there. We did a lot of research. We checked our facts, and we did some history of the 101 pick, and the article's probably still on the website somewhere, but add Christian McCaffrey to it. 101 this year, in a lot of formats. I know some people that in Superflex probably went QB, or maybe you decided to go receiver, but pretty consensus 101 pick. CMC down again, unknown timetable for return, and a lot of questions going around about what's going to happen there. But yeah, I want to complain about it, I want to cry and say boo-hoo, poor me, but it's not just me, it's everybody in the league. So, you know, you go play your waiver wire and suck it up.
Yeah, and you brought up how Jeff kind of said, you know, we didn't see any big injuries in the preseason, but it's like these guys aren't playing then. Is this why? Like, these guys aren't taking any snaps.
And right, we went from the days of, like, you used to play at least.
Week three was an NFL game for at least three quarters. So yeah, I mean, you kind of see now people hold out too. Like, I'm not touching the field. I'll sign a contract, and that's like, damn, I'm hurt. I mean, we're kind of seeing that a lot. Or you get to guys like Bryce Young and the Panthers. You play Bryce Young in like one quarter in the preseason. Like, why? Like, that makes no sense.
Talk makes about a guy one who great throw. Reps.
Oh my gosh, you and the offensive line, you need the friggin' reps. But I mean, we'll get to that too. We have a packed fill show for you guys, so we're trying to keep this relatively quick for our standards, probably an hour, so you can watch the second half of the Pats game.
Yeah, but I guess currently 0-0 and might end that way for all we know.
Yeah, and I do love how you did the docket, Dows. Thank you for actually putting this entire thing together last night. Stuff happened, but I do love how it's just injuries. One section's IR, one's out, one's questionable, one's trending, one's good news. Which, I mean, I guess, like, even out 2 weeks, that's good news these days.
Yeah, at this point, you know? Right? Yeah, you're happy if all you got is a 2 week out.
Yeah. All right. Get right into it. IR. We'll start with there. Marshawn Lloyd headed to IR. Kind of a bummer. He got back week two. I think had a few carries. I don't know what the injury was. Was it the knee again or something?
I think it was hamstring, I thought I read, but it could have been knee.
Oh, no, you're right. So I think he's just on the four-week IR, I believe.
Yeah, I do think he's one of the expected back quickly after IR stint kind of guys. But like you said, I mean, opportunity was there for him. A.J. Dillon already done for the season. So it stinks to see him kind of lose that shot, especially Josh Jacobs as well is dealing with a back injury. Not that I think it's not gonna keep him out of any time, but at least not yet. But Marshawn Lloyd had every shot to snag a large role and just injuries,
Yeah, I mean, we
bite him
saw
at the wrong time.
Emmanuel Wilson be competitive week one, and you would think like if he had that role, I mean, we said maybe a flex or bye week guy, but a lot of shares of him in Dynasty, so that kind of sucks. Tua is headed to IR, meeting with an independent neurologist, and this is just again the 4 week IR just to get him in some meetings first to kind of decide. And of course, the biggest question, should he retire? I think we would all say yes. I know Tua said I'm 26. No, but he can't really think right now. So,
His propensity or his capability for deep analytical thought is probably a little compromised right now, but like just the stuff that we've seen on the NFL field, and if you want to add in his college stuff too, that we're aware of, it's a very, very deep concussion history. And like that's what you worry about long term for these guys. So again, he's made a lot of money. We talked about it ad nauseum with our friend group already, but he's made $167 million guaranteed. And whether all of it's guaranteed or not, it's kind of up in the air. We're not sure, but it's tough to have that kind of money in, sitting in your bank account casually and still go out and risk your long-term future. So I don't know. Tough world to be in, tough decision to make. These guys are built differently though, like mentally. So he's a gamer. If he can play, if he has arms and legs that work currently, he'll probably be out on the field, which is almost sad to think about, but it's short-sighted, is what it is.
And he comes back to it's like great for fantasy to have him or have the players that are attached to him, but in Dynasty his trade value has plummeted if he retires or not. It's like why would I trade a guy that might retire in the first quarter once I get him? So he's
You
right there with
can't
like
deal the guy.
no there unless you want a fourth. But even at that point it's like yeah this guy really might not play.
He has probably the same value as like Aaron Rodgers, or maybe even less. You know what I mean?
I would say his teammates, Skylar Thompson or Tyler Huntley, like those kind of guys,
Exactly.
probably not that bad. But
Yeah,
yeah, I mean,
you're not dealing him. It's too risky. And again, whether he retires on his own volition or he's forced into it after another one, it's like I've never seen anybody in the NFL have those I don't know, autopilot type physiological body reactions on the field after a concussion. Now we've seen Tua do it two or three times.
three times, 2 in 2 weeks in 2 years ago.
Like you gotta think about your well-being.
Yeah, we can go on a long time for that, but we'll
I
move
think we're on
on
the
to
same
the
page. I think most of the world's on the same page. It's really just Tua
yeah,
and
like it's like
the coaches.
even I mean with us it's like the money, like oh my God, if we had that we'd be set our famous up for two generations, but we're all just
He's
like
also like he's Hawaiian. Go buy like a sick ass house and just surf your life away. I saw Johnny Tsunami. It looks sick.
oh yeah, that's so accurate.
Like,
But I mean, like, I think most of us are thinking like we're not even being like stubborn or selfish. Like, I want him there because I own Tyreek Hill. I think most of us are like we don't want to see you die or be a vegetable in a year when you have two kids and a family and you're 26. Like that's
exactly.
yeah. So
Like
at that point, he's a person.
we came close enough to a death on the field with Damar Hamlin. Like we don't need to see like a literal brain dead guy on the field with Tua because geez Louise, one more. And these are not like the craziest like dirty hits that you've ever seen either. Like this is just it's just happening too easily to him at this point. Like if he actually were to take like a early to mid 2000s NFL Ray Lewis decapitating blow to the head, he might like I don't even know what would happen to him.
Oh God. Oh, there's Alan Lazard touchdown.
Terrible, terrible tackling by the Patriots. Good job. Oh, Alan Lazard. I believe I just pulled him out of my Red Dog lineup mere minutes ago.
I did pull him out of one as well, so great.
Gotta love it.
All right, and the last IR news, Isaiah Pacheco, fibula fracture, out 6 to 8 weeks or the whole season. I guess they don't really know yet. Surgery went successful, I think today or yesterday. But that's a hard thing to see. I think, I mean, I was huge in him this year. It's tough to see, you know, a guy that gets that much work just go down like that. Like, don't know what to see.
Yeah, he was looking great.
Yeah, I mean, and we can talk about the backfield when we get to the Kareem Hunt news, but I guess we can move on. You can take the out guys.
Yeah, A.J. Brown, who missed Monday Night Football, is expected to miss multiple weeks dealing with a hamstring injury. This is, you know, par for the course for hamstrings, at least 2, sometimes 3, 4 weeks, depending on how long it takes. We've seen people miss 6 to 8 weeks on these, so hopefully he gets back quickly. I mean, in the meantime, Devontae Smith had a great game, so if you're an Eagles fan, you're probably, I don't know, not pressing the panic button too hard, but you did blow a game to the Falcons. However, that was probably on the backs of just piss poor defense at the end of the game there. So they look like they're at least offensively able to absorb his loss, but you know, you want him back as fast as possible. It's AJ Brown. So similarly, Debo is expected to miss multiple weeks with a calf injury he picked up really close to the end of the game last week. Like if you look at his stats and his snap share, he's pretty much right where he always is, and then all of a sudden we see that he's coming out questionable, and now I think he's listed as doubtful for Sunday. I would expect him to miss multiple weeks. Shanahan's already been out saying it's going to be multiple weeks, so that kind of sucks. If you're a Brandon Ayuk owner, that's probably the direction you want it to go, but San Fran is just hemorrhaging weapons, and I think they're 1-1 now, maybe even 0-2. They're 1-1, so they beat the Jets and then lost this week, but at 1-1, I mean, San Fran is scrambling. You've got the Seahawks 2-0 in their division, and they're trending in the wrong direction health wise.
Yeah, and this is on the dock because it's done yesterday. But George Kittle picked up a hamstring injury today in practice, you get that guy out. There goes receiving, plus a lot of blocking on the outside.
Yeah, and we've seen the Kittle-less Niners before, and it's just a different team out there. Like he does so much for that team that goes unnoticed.
A Kittle-less, Andy Bullis Niners is
and CMC-less.
there goes 48% of the playbook right there.
That's tough. And then speaking of another guy who's heavily involved in his team, Cooper Kupp, expected to miss multiple weeks. Not confirmed for an IR stint. I think currently they're still evaluating, at least as of yesterday, last I was able to check, but they have not placed him on IR yet. So I'm calling that a good sign. If he can get back in 3-4 weeks, that's great. Obviously they need him. Puka's out. He's out. They're down to Tyler Johnson, Whittington, Higby's still out. He's not going to be back for another couple of weeks.
DeMarcus
Robinson. Yeah. It's Tutu Atwell, I guess is another one to think about, but the Rams are struggling. So keep an eye on his status, but a lot of big names. Cruise through some questionables real quick. These are guys, at least as of yesterday, that had not practiced or didn't look like they were going to practice. I don't know if anybody returned today.
Yeah, Kenneth Walker did not return today. He sounds like he's out again.
Yep.
Charbonnet should get a large role again. Jordan Addison, not practicing, but I think is trending towards maybe playing. But, I mean, Naylor's been fine there in his absence.
Yeah, Naylor's actually been solid. Yeah.
Even week one when Addison was there. So, Keenan Allen, I don't know if he practiced today.
I don't think he did. He's a guy, though, that, like, he won't practice anyways. So it's kind of like when he's ready to play, he'll play. He's really a hard one to track when he actually does have an injury. And I believe it's his heel that's messing with him. So
that was last week, too. We're like, oh, it's fine. It's a rest day. It's, oh, crap, he's actually hurt.
Yeah.
But they need him back there. I mean, they need any weapon they can get there, especially a guy that can is that smart of a route runner. So David Njoku didn't practice. I don't think he did today either. So he's likely out again. Evan Ingram, I think, is trending towards likely out.
Raheem Mostert did return to practice.
He did. Okay.
In a limited capacity. I don't know if he's going to play or not. There wasn't really much news on that. However, at least returning to practice, step in the right direction. And on a Miami team that's lacking a quarterback, they're going to need all 25 of their running backs and wide receivers to do something effective. So
they may dress four. And I know Jeff Wilson got hurt too, so he's probably questionable as well. Yep. Last one, Justin Herbert didn't practice, but was limited today. Sounds like he's going to try and go. That's one of those, like, I have him, which sucks. He's been, like, doing well with him throwing the ball 20 times a game, which is something I didn't see. It sucks for fantasy, but and it too could be like I kind of had to start the guy. So I kind of want to know before like Sunday. That'd be very, very nice.
Yeah, definitely. You need to pick somebody up or, you know, whatever you have to do. But he's one to worry about because he already had that plantar fasciitis issue, and now he's doubling it up with an ankle injury. So I get maybe potentially two bad feet. So definitely a problem, especially after last week, though. I mean, you had guys like Quentin Johnston finally looking like solid NFL football players. So you really don't want to lose a quarterback at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. You can take the actual good news.
Yeah, Jordan Love is finally practicing again. I think limited capacity, but still on the field, which is awesome. I wouldn't really anticipate him being back this week, especially given the fact that Green Bay was able to pick up a win with Malik Willis under center. So I don't think he's as rushed as maybe we thought he was at first. However, if you're like an owner of any of the wide receivers in Green Bay, you want him back because Christian Watson got zero targets and zero receptions. So I'm sure we'll get to that later. Josh Downs is looking to make his season debut in week 3. It'll be interesting to see where he slots in. Michael Pittman's been ineffective, but Alec Pierce has been
a monster.
The best to ever do it. So,
which is 2 years too late after you drop him off your taxis.
Yeah. And A.D. Mitchell has done nothing. So very.
Yeah, I mean,
interesting combination of receivers.
Richardson
there.
Could really use that kind of slot guy because he just can't connect with Pittman down the field. So
yeah,
he's going to be throwing those little dump offs 5 yards here and there because that's why Pierce is, you know, doing so well because he's taking a lot of that slot work.
Yep, exactly. And yeah, if down slots right into that, which is what he did most last year, could be a home run for both of them. So keep an eye on Downs. Justin Jefferson, as we talked about at the top of the broadcast, practiced Wednesday. Looks like his injury wasn't all that severe, so he should be out there. At least by all indications, he should be out there on Sunday. Russ Wilson is seemingly healed up, or at least real close to it, with the calf injury he was nursing. However, Mike Tomlin says Fields is going to remain the starter. I have a question here, fair or foul? I mean, we really heard that Russ Wilson was going to have the job at the beginning of the season, and now Fields is 2-0 with the Steelers. I guess you ride the hot hand.
Yeah, and I mean, like his stats, fantasy-wise, he's not doing much. But, I mean, if you're winning games, then
yeah,
I mean, you can't really sub a guy out.
Right.
That's exactly what Tomlin cares about. So that's the biggest thing there.
Yeah, and I guess you don't go backwards, right? You don't go to the older guy. If it were the inverse and, like, they really thought Justin Fields was the guy and Russ Wilson had to step in for 2 weeks and he was 2-0, maybe you just go, okay, well, it's like the Ryan Fitzpatrick Tua takeover plan, but you don't go backwards. If you're, you know, 25-year-old quarterback's doing all right, 2-0, you don't bring in the 34-year-old.
No. I mean, especially with that defense playing the way it is with Tomlin and Fields.
That defense looks toit.
Oh, I freaking love Tomlin. And then this last one, Joe Mixon.
Yeah, Joe Mixon. We don't know really if he's going to play Sunday yet, I don't think.
He didn't practice today. And Damian Pierce didn't practice either again. Sounds like a K-Makers game, but it also sounds like Stroud should have a big game because I don't know if they can rely on that run.
Yeah, that seems to be the most likely scenario. And then Tajay Spears picked up an ankle injury, says he hopes to play. I don't know if this is just him saying it or what, but he is still questionable. I think he was a limited participant today, so hopefully he continues in that direction. But Tony Pollard's really been the guy there. It really has not been Spears involved whatsoever. So
he's looked fantastic. I mean,
yeah,
from
I think you
2 years
keep,
ago, which is that same role we think,
right?
You know, not a bell cow like Dallas tried last year. So
exactly,
it's a perfect little 1-2 punch there with Pollard being the 1A.
Yep.
And back to the Chiefs from before the Pacheco on IR. Kareem Hunt signs with the Chiefs practice squad. It sounds like he could play this week. I doubt he does. But just with that saying, he's probably dressing in week 4.
Yeah.
Now we can talk about, I mean, the big waiver guy this week was Steele. P. Ryan was there. Then Hunt signed. So Hunt was a pickup too. So like everything on your waivers was like those three guys and maybe like Quentin Johnson.
Right.
And I really don't know what to expect from this Chiefs backfield. If it's me this week, I mean, it's got to be a steal if Hunt's on the practice squad as an early down guy. And then Piran probably has a little more work in the passing game. But I don't know if I'm comfortable starting either one of them. I'll have to in some leagues, but that's just with all the injuries. So if you pick them up, you're probably starting them. You spent a lot of money on them, maybe too much in my mind. But Dallas, I don't know what you think about this backfield.
It's like just the most uncertainty that we've seen in a while. And it's very indicative of what's happened across all of my fantasy leagues, at least. So I've had leagues where Carson Steele went for $30. I had other leagues where he didn't even get a waiver claim put on him, and I picked him up for free as a free agent. So people really truly have no idea what they're going to do. And we talk about this all the time. Like, just because Piran was there and he's the veteran, and we think that he's the best running back in the room, doesn't mean that he necessarily takes over that every down back role. He is more likely to remain in the role that he's had in the offense the entire time, while Carson Steele takes over for Pacheco as Pacheco as next man up, or Kareem Hunt. I'm not sure. Like you said, though, if Kareem Hunt doesn't dress, you're playing Carson Steele, and you're probably playing him with a good amount of confidence. If Kareem Hunt is dressed, even if he's there in an emergency capacity, we're talking about Carson Steele having one, you know, big pressure moment fumble where Kareem Hunt gets put on the field immediately and they see what he's got. So it's really tricky. It's really hard to say. I don't anticipate Kareem Hunt being dressed this week. I'd be shocked to see turnaround time that quick. He has to get back on the same page as all these guys, but I don't know. Even in the league that I picked up Steele for free, I don't know that I'm starting him, and I need running back help. Like, I might end up playing Zamir White again, just saying I hope that Zamir White pops instead of Carson Steele, because I don't know that I can trust him.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And just because it's me, CH is back in 2 weeks. So
there's also, could be the guy.
I mean, like, this thing is like, it just could be a complete one of these guys are healthy scratch each week, depending on, and slash to keep these guys, you know, fresh too, because I mean, Hunt, CH and Piran have been the healthiest backs to date. So I think Piran's been fine, but definitely the other two. So yeah, that's a wait and see. If you had to play him this week, I'm playing both. And just kind of hoping, you know, a Piran goal line touchdown and third down, like,
yeah,
hopefully.
Right.
I don't know.
You just hope for a touchdown to save the day, right? Like, if one of them finds the end zone, or whoever you find, whoever you start gets in and scores, you're not too upset. You know, they get 6, 7, 8, 9 points, you're pumped.
Yep.
Tyler Huntley signing in Miami. I don't know that there's much to this for right now. Skylar Thompson's probably going to get the start again this week. Huntley's not going to be ready. Apparently, he goes by Snoop Huntley. That was news to me. I never knew that. They like mentioned it, like, "Oh, Snoop's signing in Miami," and I was like, "Snoop Connor, the running back."
That's what I thought too. But when they said Snoop, I'm like, I do remember him going by that. But like, yeah. I don't know. That's just like a cooler name. Like on waivers, it's like, cool, I'm going to pick up Snoop.
I think he was like, Tyler is a pretty white name. I'm changing it. That's not what I'm trying to be known as. But yeah, I mean, if Skylar Thompson goes out and sucks again, maybe he's got a role in there. I mean, I don't know that he's necessarily built different than Skylar Thompson is. It's not like they're doing two incredibly different things. Maybe he's a little bit more athletic, has a proven track record.
Yeah, I think,
or
that's
he's
it,
purely just the backup. So now they have this new Skylar Thompson offense. If Skylar Thompson goes down, now Tyler Huntley slides in. In any case, I'm not scrambling to pick up Tyler Huntley. I know a lot of people did. I'm not.
I saw a lot of claims. A lot of claims.
A lot of claims.
That's hoping for an injury or a horrible game.
Right.
But like, it might be week 7.
Yeah,
in a fantasy league with all these injuries. It's like,
he needs to learn a complicated offense with tons of motion.
Go pick up Drake May if you're gonna wait for a guy to sub in at some time.
I would rather take the next guy we're going to talk about, Andy Dalton, taking over for Bryce Young in Carolina. If I'm desperate for a quarterback, that's the guy I'm taking the flyer on. Number one, because he's starting this week. And then number two, because he's shown that he has some level of competence in the NFL. Like, not that Tyler Huntley hasn't shown that, but he hasn't shown it in Miami. He hasn't shown it anywhere other than a handful of flashes of brilliance in Baltimore's offense, which is completely different than...
Cut from Baltimore, cut from Cleveland. Exactly. This year, like, there's a reason why he's on his third team in a year and a half. Like, we had to look at it that way too.
Right. Andy Dalton, however, kind of proven commodity. We know what he is.
Yeah. And I guess you can just talk about that. Like, Bryce Young gets benched. His camp says it's a total shock. But Canales did say, like, 3 hours before he benched him, that he, Bryce, is his guy. It's probably before he actually dug deep and watched the tape, to be honest. He probably watched tape and was like, oh my gosh, like, I can't put this guy in and think I'm going to succeed. Like, you can't have another week of just, what do you have? Like, fantasy point wise, like 1.2 points, like maybe 84 yards total. It's disgusting.
Right. And he's not making the makeable throws either. It's one thing if you have no time to throw, the O-line's to blame, the offense is disjointed, whatever. But when you miss the ones that you're supposed to get, that's what's inexcusable. So I can't agree that this is like a total surprise to Bryce Young. What I will say is, when your head coach comes out and says, Bryce is our guy, we're sticking with Bryce, you know, mere hours before you get benched, that screams owner interference to me. As much as anything. And Jerry Jones is guilty of it all the time. And David Tepper is just as guilty of it. He meddles in the draft picks. He meddles in the game day decisions. Then he fires coaches left and right. So it's the reason the Panthers aren't a premier destination for head coaches. And they continue to harvest, you know, coordinators and fire them in a couple of days. Or they go down to the college level and they fire those guys and send them back to college, like Matt Rhule. So, there's a reason these loser franchises are loser franchises, and usually it starts at the top. I don't know. I want to bash David Tepper a little bit. I blame him for a lot of the misfortune.
95%.
Bryce Young was his guy, and now he's the one saying, well, Andy Dalton's my guy. Like, well, can't sell scout quarterbacks, bud.
Everyone in the room said Stroud, and he did that move. And, I'm glad he's benched, because, that – not the most talented team, but they have pieces there. They have a rookie in Leggett. They brought in Deontay. They still have Thielen. Like, it's unfair to those guys to keep Young out there. And let's not forget, they had Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. Now look at them. It's a Panthers problem. It's hopefully it's not a player problem like Bryce Young. I feel bad for the guy. Hoping, you know, go somewhere and find a path to get a few years in the NFL to start, but he was thrown into a horrific situation.
Yeah, and I mean, from all reports, Bryce Young is, you know, first man in, last man out, hardest worker in the room, great guy to be around, like, no character concerns. Just isn't cut from the right cloth to be an NFL quarterback. I mean, at some point, if you're 5'9" and you're not uber athletic like Kyler Murray, you're not going to succeed in the NFL. I mean, there have been a handful of guys, right? Like, Drew Brees had a huge career and he was probably 5'10 on a good day. But, like,
and he took years to have a good career.
And that was back in a
They drafted Phillip Rivers to replace him in a few years. So it's like,
and it was just a completely different mindset in the NFL that I was actually recently listening to Tom Brady talk about it. And he's like, we used to develop guys. I played 5 years at Michigan. I redshirted my first year and I learned how to play football at the college level. And then I came to New England. I learned how to play football from our offensive coordinators and head coach and all of our staff members. And they taught us and they developed me and they developed other players around me. And they did it to other rookies when they were there. And that mindset has completely changed. So he's like, and Tom Brady said the exact words, I feel so bad for these kids that get drafted and they're supposed to take these franchises that had a top pick because they're awful and turn them around all on their own shoulders. And it's looking the same way for Caleb Williams right now. It's just, you can't give these guys no support. And I know the Bears fans will tell you, well, we gave them a million wide receivers and a tight end and running backs and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. By support, I mean offensive line help. If everybody runs for their lives the entire game, you cannot play quarterback. You watch the Houston Texans. They did it. They went out and they had a proper offensive line. They put C.J. Stroud behind it and they succeeded. That's it. You build from the inside out.
Yeah. And I think he called it what it was, it used to be a college system. Now it's just a college team.
Yep.
Which makes a lot of sense. But yeah, I mean, he's a 101 pick. You don't ever, you know, not start a guy 101.
Yep.
But San Fran benched Trey Lance.
Right.
Or not benched, didn't start him.
Well, yeah, had to.
And look, they made the NFC Championship with Garoppolo. Yep. So it's like, and he was what, pick 2? Three, two. Yeah. So it's like you don't have to, like,
there's no rule.
it's sad. But in better news, we got the week two top performances for quarterback, killing it so far this year. Kyler Murray, 28.54 points on my bench, 17 for 21 for 266 yards, 3 touchdowns, 5 rushes for 59 yards. That is a Kyler Murray stat line from probably 3 years ago, and it's fantastic to see.
It's the perfect Kyler line, right? He's like very efficient passing, only 4 incompletions, and then he did the damage when they gave it to him on the ground. He didn't overdo it. He didn't put himself at risk. He got down and out of bounds when he needed to. That's what you want to see from Kyler.
Yep. You can take the RB.
Yeah, the top running back of the week, if you watch fantasy football at all, you know it's Alvin Kamara, 43 points even, 20 rushes for 115 yards and 3 scores on the ground, while he added 2 receptions on 3 targets and 65 yards with another touchdown through the air. If you had Alvin Kamara, you probably won your game this week. So send him a thank you basket.
Yes. That reminds me of the championship week 3 years ago when he had, I think, 5 or 6
touchdowns. Yeah, I lost to him.
Kind of like that. Yeah.
That's fun.
It was on Thursday, too. So at that point, you're like, all right, I lost this.
Yeah, he's done. We're done here.
To piggyback off of Kyler, the reason he had so many points was Marvin Harrison Jr., horrific week one. Week two, 27 points, 8 targets, 4 catches, 130 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And if you go back and look at that first touchdown to Marvin Harrison when Kyler threw it, he turned around and pretty much did the stuff Curry. Like,
yeah,
that's a touchdown. And it wasn't like the easiest, you know, wide open. He just knew, like, I'm going to place it here, and this guy's that good. He's going to get it.
Yeah, you love to see it from the probably consensus dynasty 101 pick this year, especially after the abysmal week one, right? Like, everybody, Marvin Harrison ran slower than every single wide receiver of all time. He must be hurt. He must suck. Week two, huge game, top of the table. You know what I mean? So great to see. I actually don't have the honorable mention on here. I want to say shout out Malik Nabers. He was right on his tail, the second wide receiver on the board, off the board this year.
Yeah, two good weeks in a row. So
yeah, yep, exactly.
There's something good coming out of the Giants, which is very rare.
Yeah, except for they had 3 touchdowns on offense, didn't allow a touchdown on defense, and still managed to lose. That's a Giants line. First team to ever do it or something like that, or first team since forever ago.
Horrific.
Then the tight end, George Kittle, 17.1 points, 7 catches, 8 targets, 76 yards, and a touchdown. That's all it takes. Be in the 17-point range, you'll be the number one tight end.
Tight end one. Yeah, I mean, if Hunter Henry could catch a touchdown last week, he's here with, 20-plus. And a few guys that didn't make the list but want to talk about: Jalen Hurts, 24.82 points. James Cook, great game, 28 points. DK Metcalf, 23.9. And Trey McBride, 15.7.
Yeah, James Cook, I mean, any other week, he's probably top running back in the league at 28 points. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was on Thursday. Like, oh, he's the best this week. And then Kamara's like, hold my beer.
Moving on to the bottom feeding piece of shit this week. Hate to see it. Quarterback position, Matt Stafford. I want to give him as many excuses as I can. He's got no weapons to throw to, but you expect to see Stafford figure it out one way or another. Only puts up 6.64 points, 19 of 27 for 216 yards. Didn't throw any picks, which is very un-Stafford. But,
like, it's not a bad stat line, but with no touchdowns in fantasy, it's –
right,
you can't do anything. I mean, that line is depleted too. It is so bad.
He's like gonna get hurt with how bad that line is. The problem is, if you're the Rams, you can't trade him because you don't have anything else. Jimmy Garoppolo, first of all, isn't good, and second of all, still isn't available. Still suspended. On top of that, like, for fantasy purposes, we want him to trade him, but the Rams think they're gonna get at least a couple more years out of Stafford. So
yeah,
he'll be there. So don't get too excited if you're a fantasy Stafford owner. Like, you got a long road ahead of you until any of these guys are coming back to help him out.
Yeah. Zeke, 4.2 points, six rushes, which is way too low, for 16 yards, two catches on three targets for 16 yards.
Fun fact, Deuce Vaughn had four carries.
Are you serious?
Football. Yep, that's a real thing.
What did Dowdle have?
I didn't look, actually. When I looked up Deuce Vaughn, I said I should look up Dowdle, then I didn't do it.
The actual guy that matters to like play right. Fantasy? Okay.
That's right. But yeah, I mean, just a bad game all around for Dallas. Like, they were behind the whole time. They were chasing the lead. So I get not using Zeke, but I mean, Zeke's proven he can catch the ball. So get him involved one way or another. He should be on the field a lot more than he is. And it's just Dallas doesn't look good right now.
I mean, they were down big. But yeah, you got to think, if you're down big, it's like maybe there's no point to put old Zeke out there. Let's save him.
Yeah, that's true. Wide receiver, I talked about this earlier. Christian Watson, 0 points, zero targets, just absolutely nothing. I mean, I think we all expected a step back with Malik Willis under center. We didn't expect zeros. So give him another week, see if they can get on the same page. If not, he becomes unplayable. Then I also threw a couple of guys in here as well. Amari Cooper, 2.6 points. That's back-to-back weeks in that 2.6 point range for Cooper. And this is all happening while Jerry Jeudy and Elijah Moore are contributing through the passing games. So big alarms going off in the Amari Cooper owner camp. And then Xavier Worthy, only able to muster 3.2 points. The Chiefs had a kind of a tough game against the Bengals overall, but Xavier Worthy, after the monster week one that everybody that drafted Xavier Worthy wanted to jerk off about, now you got him coming back down to reality. So this is probably what we're going to see from him his whole career. Gabe Davis-esque, big booms, and then disappears.
Tight ends. Travis Kelce, 1.1 points, one catch on three targets for 5 yards. Also, Sam Laporta, 2.3 points, two catches, 13 yards, three targets. Started both these guys in a tight end and flex, and I'm like, I'm golden.
Right.
I couldn't get five total points from the top two fantasy ranked tight ends. Like, and the Kelce one, he had like a huge play called back on a hold. I think it was like 50 yards. But Laporta is scary because, like, I think he was like fifth in the pecking order for the Lions. Like, Jameson's coming up, like, Amon-Ra starting to get more targets. Like, that's scary. It's going to change each week, but, like, he might be more of a, you know, a Hawkinson instead of like a Kelce.
Right.
If that's the path.
Yeah. I mean, we took the huge, you know, rookie year, and we said, well, obviously he's going to build on that, and just hasn't been the case so far. I mean, a lot of season left. Hopefully he can figure it out and get, you know, get something done, but 2 weeks in a row doesn't look good. I mean, Kelce same way though. So 2 weeks in a row hasn't been the same old Kelce. So we'll see what happens. I'm not sitting him. You're never going to sit.
Oh, no.
I'll sit him after week six, if it's six straight weeks, you know, but there's a good chance you don't have another tight end on your roster if you reached on Laporta.
Yeah, probably not. And a few other guys, Caleb Williams, 9.36 points. Josh Allen, 9.76 points. Zach Moss, 5.2.
Yeah, the only guy on this list who gets a pass is Josh Allen because his team was up so big he didn't have to do anything. Zach Moss is alarming because the Bengals are not running the ball well. Zach Moss is not doing anything efficient, and Chase Brown has been a non-factor as well. So they're really hurting the loss of Joe Mixon.
Yes, a Pro Bowl-esque running back. Yes, yep. That does hurt a lot.
Some would say. The Bengals front office would have you believe he doesn't matter, but they would be patently wrong.
Mm-hmm. All right. Week two reactions. I'll take the first one. We'll go back and forth. Who was the biggest preseason fraud in the NFL? Ravens, Cowboys, Eagles.
Yeah. So I put this one in here because I had the Ravens as like early AFC championship. I was penciling them in. I'm like, dude, Lamar, Derrick Henry, they Zay Flowers is going to be better. Mark Andrews will be back.
They can beat a Kansas City because they got the run game now.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
and they have not put it together. I mean, they lost to the Raiders this week. That bounced me out of my survivor pool. I'm very salty about that. They just don't look good. I mean, and they keep not giving Derrick Henry the ball. So this is what I wanted to bitch about. I'll just do it all at once. So The Ravens go into the fourth quarter. They're up 10 points. Derrick Henry touches the ball two times in the fourth quarter. They lose the game. What are we doing here? They burn no clock. They're passing the ball. It's the playoffs from last year all over again. They forget that they're a dominant run team, and they don't act like that. And they lose games because of it. It's just stupid. Like, if you had Derrick Henry, you should be just absolutely thrilled that he's in Baltimore. And then all of a sudden, they want to lose their identity, and they don't want to run the ball anymore.
Yeah, like Justice Hill is getting like the same amount of snap percentage. Like, what the hell is going on here?
And like, I get that they like Justice Hill, but geez Louise, like, he's not as good as Derrick Henry. Get him off the field.
Yeah, that I mean, again, they're 0-2. They haven't been 0-2, I think, in a long time. So you're hoping that like once they get it figured out, they're going to be up or close in most games.
Yeah.
So they don't have to do this. But yeah, I mean, every team we talk about, you know, we'll go out of the Cowboys and Eagles too. Survivor pools, they were huge picks. And right. I mean, in my pool, I think.
Oh, the Bengals should be on this list too. But they're at least hurt.
they're at least hurt. They were toe to toe with KC. So it's like they were in the game the entire time. So
and they always start 0-2. We can't worry about them.
Yep. The Cowboys, especially after week one, look great. And then, I mean, it honestly might be more of we were wrong about the Saints.
Yeah.
How good they are. Like, I penciled them in as the bottom three, bottom four team with the Pats, Panthers, and Giants. But I feel like every year they have Kamara, and he just gets pushed down every year in rankings. And when you get him in the fifth round, it's an absolute steal.
Yeah, and like their defense has been pleasantly surprising, the Saints. But on top of that, like they will go as far as Derek Carr allows them to go. And if he keeps playing the way he's playing, that's very far. If he goes back to the Derek Carr we've seen historically, it's not as appealing. But what he's doing right now is top of the table. I think him and Baker Mayfield are 1-2, depending on your league settings for scoring for quarterbacks. So rock and roll is like great pickup, great whatever you're doing, it's working. Rashid Shaheed, if he's not on rosters, he should be. Like, you've got guys there that I didn't expect to ball out, just absolutely showing up. And then you've got guys like Olave who are kind of a mystery right now as to where their production is. But yeah, I think you're right. I think we may have violently underestimated the Saints this year.
Yep. Then the Eagles, I think they'll be okay. I mean, when you watch them play, they look great. Then they lost the Falcons at the end of the game. Just a few very bad play calls and bad defense. But
yeah, bad play calls.
You can't hate
unlucky
what they look like.
Drop by Saquon. That really doesn't happen all that often. But then I also saw online that they only pressured Kirk Cousins on like four of his dropbacks all night, which is kind of nuts for what that Philly front has brought for years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I mean, they've got the talent up there, right? They still have got Graham. They have Carter. They've got Davis. Like, they've got talent.
They healthy scratch Devin White.
Right.
They have a lot of talent on the team.
Exactly.
All right. And then we talked about KC earlier, so we can kind of skip that. And who is the fakest 2-0 team in the league? We've got a lot here. We can kind of just skip the ones we don't even think about. But Seahawks, Vikings, Saints, Bucks, Bills, Chargers, Chiefs, Steelers, and Houston.
Now, I want to say the Vikings. Like, I really, really want to say the Vikings. But Sam Darnold has been impressive. And they're still missing Addison. So I can't really, in fairness, say it's the Vikings. So I'm going to give it to the Seahawks. Fake is 2-0. They beat, so far, the Broncos, who suck, and the Patriots, who kind of suck and are losing to the Jets 14-0 right
now. Yeah, they look horrible right now.
They look.
See this player right here.
Yeah, here's a bomb going deep. As soon as I said it'll probably catch
interference.
Give me the
was lucky. He wasn't catching that.
Yeah, no, that ball is uncatchable. But no, so definitely the Seahawks, if like on this list, I think is my pick.
Yeah. Back to the Vikings with Sam Darnold, we kind of said all offseason, like, he was in San Fran for a year learning under pristine offensive coaches.
Right.
That's what happened with Baker. Like, you need a year under that belt and you can go somewhere, and that offense is not even hard to pick up compared to, you know, San Fran. So if you can do the San Fran offense, sure as hell going to do the Vikings.
Right.
Mine would be Seahawks, probably. I would say Chargers, but Chargers are winning without Herbert having to throw. So even if they're losing and Herbert has to throw, Herbert can throw. So it's like,
right,
if they have bad games, they have, you know, a quarterback that can put up yards. And I guess I go Seahawks, but it's good to see. Like, I do love Geno Smith, and everyone says, you know, he's a bad quarterback, but those weapons there, he was awesome last week. So
DK was eaten against Gonzo, who just locked up Jamar Chase. So I mean,
JSN had a fantastic game. He finally. Yep. So
I would also say, like, you could argue the Steelers, because the Steelers only beat Denver, who, well, like I mentioned, suck. And then I think Atlanta. But Atlanta just drag raced Philly right out of the building. And we think Philly's good. So you can't really fairly put them in that category. Their defense is, like, fantastic right now. But also, how good are those offenses really? I don't know that we know. We'll find out more as we go along. But offensively, they're in trouble. I mean, they have not done much. Anybody on Pittsburgh, I don't know. Darnell Washington caught his first touchdown pass of the year, or of his career, actually, I think, actually, last week.
Yep, sure wasn't Pat Freiermuth.
No, it was. So that one, though, specifically that pass to Washington was like a fantastic ball from Fields. Like, great outside shoulder throw. Darnell Washington looks up at the perfect time, snags it. I was like, if he could do that consistently, we're talking about a great, proficient NFL quarterback.
Yep. All right, next one. Is Derek Carr having a career resurgence, or will he come back down to earth? This is tricky because I feel like he does this a lot to us. So I'll never rule it out. Derek Carr pulls a Derek Carr. And by week 8 or 9, it's like, do we bench him for Spencer Rattler? Like, it's happened so many times. So, I don't really believe the Derek Carr, you know, hype and what he's done. Like, it's great what he's done so far in 2 weeks, but once teams kind of figure it out too, it's kind of like Carr's going to Carr at some point, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I totally agree. He'll finish quarterback 10 to 14, like where he usually does, which means to get back down there, he's got a couple like 8-point weeks coming your way. Maybe they'll face some stiffer competition. Who knows what it will be. Maybe Derek Carr will just Derek Carr. Like you said, he'll find a way to blow a game. But I can't see him doing this all year long. I think he's really only had one or two seasons in his career where he's put, like, you know, a full 16, 17, 18 game schedule together. So, yeah, I think he comes back down to earth sooner rather than later.
Yep. You can take the next one.
Is Caleb Williams capable of doing anything in Chicago if they won't block for him at all? And more or less, my question here is just, should you even roster Caleb Williams, and what in which formats? Like, one quarterback leagues, you can't roster him. Superflex, probably still hanging on to him, hoping that he turns it around just because of the weapons.
Yeah.
And then Dynasty, yeah, you're going to hold him because you can't cut him loose. It's way too soon in his career. But, like, what do you think his upside is for the year? Because it doesn't look good. I think he's yet to break double-digit points.
No, week one. It's funny because, like, they won week one, so it's kind of like, all right, the defense kind of won the game. He didn't have to do much. He had like 6 points.
Right.
He had 9 points this week in a game where it's like the defense is playing good, but like against Houston and Stroud, the offense has to do something. And I mean, there was that one throw to Adunze in the end zone, like slightly high, but like Adunze is known, you know, to go up and get the ball. Like, that was a perfect throw for him, or else that would have been a pick. Adunze didn't come up with it. So we're talking about a completely different stat line, because that was like a 40 yarder.
That puts him right into like 18 points, something like that for the week.
Yeah. But I want to say yes because I do own him in a super flex league and dynasty too. You know, you want this guy to, even if you're not playing him, you want him to do good. So maybe at some point his trade value is up.
Right.
But I mean, the line doesn't block, and like I said, Adunze dropping that ball in the end zone. We talked about, like, they probably should draft a offensive lineman with that pick. I get Adunze is a fun, that's like a Madden fantasy pick, but when you have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, and you just paid DJ Moore, like, you have to protect this guy. The 101, the generational talent, quote unquote, if he is, then block for him.
100%. And you see the good teams do it. Josh Allen and the Bills just got rid of every single wide receiver, and they said, as long as we got an offensive line, he'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, to this point, figured it out. And that, it works on two levels for offensive line as well, right? Because if you can establish a run game, your quarterback doesn't have to do as much. They can't do that. They have not been able to do that in Chicago for years. David Montgomery was one of the least efficient running backs in the NFL behind the Chicago Bears offensive line. And then he went to Detroit, and he is one of the most efficient running backs in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he changed who he was and became a better player. It's that he's in a better situation for a team that supports him. And Chicago refuses to do that, which I called Carolina a loser organization. I'm going to call Chicago a loser organization.
Chicago's like right there. And I mean, I give Dundy Swift's shit because, you know, he's one of my busts of the year, and like, he's not doing much, but like, it's true. It's like, how can you, like, you can't put, unless you're putting like CMC, Bijan, Breece Hall back there, any other back like can't do anything when you legit can't hit the line of scrimmage without getting hit. Like, he's got to break three right. tackles to even get a yard. So for Swift, it does suck because he can't do anything with that line. He just can't.
Yeah, by the time he touches the ball on the handoff from the quarterback, he's wrapped up. And it's like, I'm also 5'8 and 170 pounds soaking wet. So it's not really good for me. It's like, and when you can't run it, you can't pass it. That's just, it's day one. Establish a run, that opens up the pass. Boom. Can't do it, and you can't do either one. Yeah. So I don't, yeah, my upside for Caleb Williams right now for his season, not great. I think he'd be lucky to finish as quarterback 18.
Yeah.
We've seen some other guys suck. Like Trevor Lawrence sucks right now. Like, absolutely garbage.
Oh yeah, like put him up there. You can put, there's a lot of big guys, like even Brock Purdy, they're okay, yep. Team, but fantasy right. wise, like,
yeah,
what's 12 or 14 points going to get you?
Yeah, 12 and 14 points get at the quarterback position gets me a loss.
Yep, exactly.
12 or 14 points gets you, even in Superflex, on my bench, because I'll play a wide receiver that has a better shot at 14.
I have our Antoine League, Herbert and Caleb as my two quarterbacks. And they can't even combine for 20 points.
I was going to say, they're combining for less than Kyler Murray scores and by himself.
Yeah, so that was a swing and a miss, and that's a Scott error right there. And you guys got me on Stafford, but if it got Stafford, it'll be the exact same thing. Like, it doesn't yep. matter. It's just, you move on.
I mean, we have Stafford and Dak, right? And Dak has not done anything either.
Yeah, did they come up for 20 last week? Maybe.
No, I would guess not.
Oh, wait, 6.6. Oh, yeah, there's no way you did.
No, I don't think Dak had 15, so.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Next one, is Arizona's offense legit? Is this what we expect from MHG from now on?
And I'm saying yes.
Yes, yes, 100% yes.
Yeah, we've seen them do it two ways so far, right? Week one, pounded the rock. James Conner, great game. Week two, I should say Kyler Murray was good in both games. But week two, they passed the ball a little bit more. MHA was involved. They still have Zay Jones coming back from a suspension at some point. He's, you know, a serviceable wide receiver. They've got improvements that might still happen to this offense. Trey Benson has still not really shown up and shown to be an effective running back for where he was drafted. He will still grow. He's a rookie running back. This happens from time to time with them.
Third round pick. It'll take him like eight weeks.
Yeah, and I think they have a lot of growth potential, and they already look really good. Trey McBride got involved this week. Like, I love what we're seeing. Their defense, not that great. But if they can win shootouts or just be in shootouts fantasy-wise, awesome.
And it's so much fun just to watch the Cardinals on TV. This is what we watched with Kyler 3 years ago. And right. we're finally getting that back. And we deserve that as much, you know?
Yeah. And I just really hope Kyler stays in that 5 to 7 rush attempt per game range. And like, stay safe. Don't get hurt. Don't take hits. Get down. Get out.
5 for 50. That's right. Give me 5 points on that. And then
that's 5 first downs as well.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Whew, all right, and then I have one last note in here for those with kickers. We don't do a lot of kicker love over in Top Shelf Fantasy Land, but Justin Tucker is wayward. He's not kicking at the Justin Tucker level. If you have leagues with kickers, I have a couple left still, unfortunately, but I drafted Tucker. I reached on him. I took him. I was like, I want to lock up this position and be done with it. He's getting out kicked. I mean, he just went head to head with Daniel Carlson last week, Ravens versus Raiders, and Carlson out kicked him under the table. Younghoe Koo is just slaughtering people. Kaimi Fairbairn is way ahead of him in scoring. And from an NFL perspective, you know, he is 1 for 7 from 50 plus over the last 2 seasons. And he used to be just automatic. I mean, he was kicking 60 yarders and we were
it's 60. They're going to kick a field goal. They're not going to punt it. They're not going to go for it.
And I think you saw that at the end of the Raven Raiders game is a lack of faith from Harbaugh, because instead of just trying to get as many yards as they could on the first 2 downs and then booting a 65 plus yarder with Tucker, he said, no, let's just run this little sneak lateral, you know, quarterback draw lateral play at the end of the game, which had no shot at ever working. It's interesting. I mean, usually you see kickers hit a wall and kind of fall off a cliff pretty quickly, but I didn't think it was going to happen to Tucker this quickly and this drastically.
Yeah, in a league where I have kickers, Scott Fishbowl drafted Tucker early because him and Scott Fishbowl is easy 20-plus points a week.
Right.
It hasn't been the case. Especially when you're missing kicks, it doesn't help either in that scoring.
Right. Yeah, format, if you had Daniel Carlson, you'd probably be top 3%.
Oh, my gosh, like,
players
it's just mind-blowing. We're like, I didn't have a backup kicker, but now I'm like, do I now search and play someone over him? But in this league, there's not a lot of kickers left. Like, people like, oh
yeah, people probably stash them
deep bench. Like, you got to have 2 guys and right. You can start 2 of them too, so it's like,
yep. Oh yeah.
It is scary. Before we do end, I'm just going to toss out a few guys. Start the Holden Foldum. We need to start it now, I think, week 2. So, Daz, I'll ask you a few guys and kind of end it after that. But Holden Foldum, Chase Brown.
Fold. I know I'm usually not that drastic on running backs this early, but he's just not involved in the offense. His snap shares are low. His efficiency is awful. Zach Moss, despite not being all that impressive either, has been the guy there.
Mm-hmm.
I would not hold Chase Brown. Given the number of injuries that we've seen in this first couple weeks of the season, there's a good shot that you are not able to hold a guy that's not producing. Like, you probably have 2, you know, top 24 guys on your bench that are hurt. So you're down to like 3 or 4 bench spots left. Chase Brown can't be there.
Yeah, and you took a shot on a guy that wasn't the starter but could have a role still in the offense. And same, agree. If you're not getting snaps and you're barely on the field,
right?
You can't wait for that 160-yard random touchdown run.
Exactly.
Can't do it. Similar guy, Jaylen Warren.
Yeah. I have more faith in Warren at some point taking – step in the right direction. I think he might still be nursing that injury. So I think I'd probably hold him if you have the space on your roster to do that. He's more holdable than Chase Brown. But this is now an Arthur Smith offense. This is a one running back offense. It's Najee Harris. Najee Harris looks not good, but much better than last year. I think he is fully healthy. I think he mentioned that in preseason, like, I'm finally at 100%. I've got a full camp. I'm feeling good, yada, yada, yada. So all that being said, yeah, I think I would probably cut Jalen Warren. He's one guy that I don't have a single share of. I have 15 leagues this year. I do not have Jalen Warren in one single one of them. And it's a little bit harder for me because I can't really put myself in those shoes, but I think I would swap them out for like Jalen Naylor right now.
Yeah, it's
If I need a wide receiver, obviously.
yeah, it's a tough hold. If you can, I would, but like same with Chase Brown. Like if you have to have a guy, like I don't want to play him,
Right.
but like I'm so hurt and like, I had to play a guy this week. It's not him. I'll cut him for someone else. But
I mean, if I had to cut him to add like Carson Steele or Samaje Perine if he was available, I would do that.
probably, yeah.
I would not cut him for Kareem Hunt right now. But the other two guys, I would.
All right, I'll give you two more.
Okay.
Deontay Johnson.
Hold. I know. I don't even want to hear it, but hold. You got a new quarterback coming to town. I think you got to see what he can do. Deontay Johnson is still a. I don't want to pick a number, but he's a top 25 wide receiver in the NFL on talent alone. Maybe even higher. I just want to make sure I pick a number that he's definitely in. But if he can get involved in the offense, which the Panthers should be trying to do, and Andy Dalton should be looking his way, he could still have a big season. And I hope that's the course that they take. Adam Thielen, same thing. I'd hold both of them. I would hold everybody in Carolina at this point, minus Bryce Young.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course.
Just
Yeah.
because you got to see what happens. I mean, if you held them this far, see what Andy Dalton can do for them. If they suck this week, they all become cuts.
Yep, agree. You gotta wait and see what D Darnold does because,
Darnold.
it's not what I said.
Darnold.
Oh my gosh,
Dalton.
I wish
I
I
might have
said
said
Sam Darnold
Darnold
there. Damn it. But yeah, it's none of their faults.
Right.
Like it's not like they're playing bad. It's this the QB play in the line so bad where it's like it doesn't matter who's out there. Like, and if that was like a Garrett Wilson, it still would be the exact same. And we're not
Right.
saying, you know, cut Garrett Wilson.
Right. Yeah. DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze. I'm not cutting any of them either. They got to figure out a way to get him a ball.
Last one, Christian Kirk.
Dude, talk about
Horrific.
a horrific,
Horrific.
horrific
Actually,
start to
he should have
negative
been
points.
on. So he wasn't on the bus because I think we were searching the 0
Yeah.
plus. We
Yep.
forgot that Christian Kirk had negative points
You went straight up
this week,
negative.
and week one was horrific too.
Yeah, so that Jaguars team is weird right now. Like they have not looked good. Like maybe losing Calvin Ridley outside and replacing with Gabe Davis was a bad idea. Weird. Who could have seen that coming? Brian Thomas has looked okay, I guess, but like there's just there like I don't even know what to say. Like Christian Kirk went from being an integral part of their offense to being an afterthought. He was seeing 10 plus targets a game consistently to now barely seeing any. He's a volume pass catcher. He's like the J.R. Smith of pass catchers. Like he needs to see 15 looks a game early on to get involved and be effective. Like he's still good. He still has the talent. He's shown that. He is very versatile in what he can do and has a lot that he can bring to the table in different areas of the field. So he's a guy that, despite being awful point output wise right now, I would not cut. I still like his role on the Jags offense too, and I think they might be able to click into gear at some point here. But yeah, he's talk about a hot seat. Like that guy is in hell based on how hot his seat is.
Yeah, he's no cut yet. It's too early. Definitely not in your lineup by any means.
No, you
You
cannot
gotta
play
wait.
him. And like based on what you probably spent on him on draft capital, he becomes a little bit harder to drop as well. He was probably projected for you as a flex play, if not starting wide receiver.
I mean, it's the same thing with Deontay too. Like, he's the first receiver on the team that you on their NFL team that was drafted in fantasy. So you just can't you can't do it yet. Like it will click.
Not if you're playing with me, man. I took Adam Thielen way before. It hasn't worked out either.
Yeah, no. I think Thielen leads the team in yards, 69.
I was gonna say not many.
69 yards in 2 weeks is the
That was
leading
that's
receiver.
the Patriots stat that I saw, lowest ever for first 2 weeks of combined wide receiver yardage. It's like 87, the next lowest, like whatever the qualifying stat was. It was like out of 320 qualifying teams, they were 320. 319 was 127 yards. So we're like 40 yards back on the worst ever for wide receiver yardage through 2 weeks.
I will say the looked at a thing where it's the leading receiving yards on every NFL team. There was two tight ends, one being Hunter Henry,
Yeah,
by like a
that
long
checks out.
shot for the Patriots.
That's just like Hunter Henry, man. Talk about the guy that just won't go away.
Yep, I love that man. Not this game though. I got an anytime TD for him, and
He's been a ghost so far. I mean, the
not
Patriots
looking good.
offense looks
Oh,
bad,
he's
but
leading the team in yards, nine.
I was gonna say, I saw him catch one ball, I think.
He's
So,
two for nine. Yeah.
oh, there we go. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess that's all the whole folds. Well, I mean, it's tough now. It's week two, so
Yeah.
and we're not talking about the guys that are late round draft guys that were cut anyways. But week three or four is getting into that tough spot where it's like you cut them now or else you hang on to them and you lose.
100%. And we'll start doing the start sits for everybody now that we have some actual decisions to make. You know, it's pretty easy. Week one, week two, you're gonna start your studs, but week three, week four, that's when you start to have real decisions about who you're going to bench, like we talked about. You know, Christian Kirk is now unplayable and whatnot. So we'll start pumping that out for you. And I think that really pretty much does it. Well, Shelfies, we appreciate you as always. As we head into the season, still keep hitting us up on Twitter or X or whatever they want to call it, Instagram as well, Facebook. We're all there at Top Shelf FNTSY. Give us your start sit questions, anything that you have about waiver wire pickups. We're always around for you. And as always, remember, you got to stay fluid, stay with you.
Top Shelf Fantasy. Stay fluid. Stay loose.